You're listening to a Fourth Strike production.
And down they came. They saw the song I had on my we brought in a friend.
Hello, and welcome to Idle Board. I'm Aoife, and I use she, her pronouns. In this podcast, I will be interviewing members of the Garages about their songs, the creation process, and possible inspirations. My guest for this episode is Garages band member Riley. Thanks for coming on, Riley. Can you tell us your pronouns, your coffee style, and what song you'll be talking about with us today?
I use they, them pronouns. My coffee style is no, and I'll be talking about Unfair Deal.
So, first off, how did you get into baseball? And when you got in, when and why did you join the Garages?
I got into baseball just from being on Twitter and someone that I followed, I think, like a year ago. I can't remember why I followed them. I don't really know who they are. Just randomly was just getting into it, and I think it was a Sunbeams fan. And I just went, oh, this seems interesting. Oh, the... Okay, I'll see what this is about. Go on to the website. Ooh, Seattle. Guitar emoji. Seattle Garages. yeah. That seems quite fun. Joined the Discord server. They have a band. Oh. I think I made my first track like 2 days later.
Before the Garages, what was your musical background before that?
I've done quite a bit of stuff since like beginning of like secondary school and middle school for Americans. Just... I've been in bands for a while. Like, I already had music out on Spotify before this. Like, I had quite a bit of musical experience before this, but it's been fun. It's been quite a lot of fun because it's so supportive and there's so much of an inspiration from other people here. Like, honestly, just listening to the rest of the Garages just gives me so much inspiration to just do new stuff, which I really love.
So, for your song, how did Unfair Deal start? What events from baseball sparked the song?
So, okay, this is gonna be a long, long answer, so settle down, have a cup of tea. You'll be here a while. So, cast your mind back to, I think it was mid-October, late October, a week or two before Deus Ex came out. And I'm in jam sessions, just, you know, as you are. Listening to people slowly finishing songs for it, the first few songs getting finished, and they're putting the demos and they're putting the finished versions up on the chat, and I'm just listening to them there going, I know I already have a song, because I was already working on a song for the other side at this point. I'd actually gotten pretty far into finishing, and I was just listening to everyone else's tracks going, this is firstly amazing, and secondly, my song doesn't sound anything like this, and it didn't feel like it fit. It was way too upbeat. It was mostly talking about the future, whereas a lot, as opposed to the god killing that had just happened. And so I went, okay, I'm gonna start completely from scratch. I know I've only got a few days before this needs to be done, but I want to start completely from scratch because, well, I want to make something that sounds like it fits on the album. And I just started with this kind of, like, okay, I wanted to talk about the god killing because that's what everyone was talking about at that point. And the main baseball inspiration was just, there were a lot of people in the fan base at that time, especially on the main server, who were very like, yay, we killed the peanut, the monitor's our friend, everything's gonna be great. And I'm just like, you do realize the monitor is also a god, could also just turn around and oppress everyone in the same way. And yes, gods have nothing to do with real life events, absolutely nothing, as everyone already talks about. And I feel like I want to make the point of, like, the monitor is also a god, the boss is also a god, we need to kill them too.
Blazeball has very little canon, and that leaves a lot of room for interpretations of the deal in question. What is the version of the story that you were telling in the song?
I don't think it is affected too much, because a lot of the events I'm talking about here are canon. Like, we know there was a peanut, we know about the martyr, we know about the boss, they all have canon personalities, they're one of the few bits of proper canon baseball has. But The deal I was talking about here was mostly the deal with the Monitor, honestly. The deal that almost the League as a whole seemed to have made with the Monitor of, we will give you peanuts, and in turn, you will kill the peanut for us. Or at least try. That is what I was referring to, I think. I think, because this all happened very quickly. Going back to talking about the song and actually how it was made, this all happened really, really quickly. Like, I tend to write quickly, but not this much. Like, I think this song went from not existing to being mostly done in about 3 hours, and I was already recording vocals for Eyes in the Dark the next day, and so I went, okay, I'll just do the vocals then, because, well, I'm in a flat, I'm not belting those high notes in a flat, definitely not. And so just after, so the next day, just after finishing the vocals for Eyes, I went, okay, let's record these vocals. Did it in one take because I felt like I wanted to have that kind of slightly improvised vibe to it. I didn't want it to feel too rehearsed, so I just went one take, do this, done. So I think that track went from not existing to done in less than 24 hours. So it's all a bit of a blur, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a thread that we see in our interviews, is that it's a really quick turnaround.
Oh yeah. And, like, Deicide was relatively chill as turnarounds go compared to all the older stuff, because you had time, whereas a lot of the older EPs, it was just like, okay, this EP is out in 2 days. Anyone want to do something for it now? Cool.
It's just so... One thing that strikes me over and over and over again in this is just how completely original The Garages is in its format.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen another band that does anything like this. Today on The Garages, pat The Garages on the back.
I just look at it and I see, like, something that should be very stressful, but I find that it's not particularly stressful for most of the members. And I think that might be just me theorizing here, that it might be due to the fact that the just community is so positive.
Oh yeah, definitely. I was about to mention that. It is mostly because everyone is just, there's such a drive to make stuff because of everyone else. It's the thing I love about this community most. I honestly am so grateful to be in it, and so glad to be a part of this, to be honest.
Yeah, I am just really happy to be interviewing members and just have a part in this, and it is just an incredible experience. And not to advertise for the band or anything, but if you're interested in making music, check out the Big Garages Discord. We're always looking for new folks. So the tonality of the song is very spicy, as it were. Can you explain what makes it so interesting?
Okay, so this goes back to how I made the song. I tend to start writing by often write by starting with someone else's song. So I'll play around with something else that I know, and if I like it, I'll go, okay, I can change this, and eventually I've got something completely different. And this song started with Grace by Jeff Buckley. It started with the verse of that, which, if you haven't heard it already, go listen to it. It's a fantastic song. So I started by playing around with that, and just kind of went, okay, the original song's in 6/8, what if I change it to 4/4? What if I slow it down? Okay, this is sounding good. Oh, that third chord's a little too upbeat, let's remove that. Oh, let's make it heavier. It feels like it needs to be a bit darker. Let's put it in a lower tuning. Let's put the acoustic into drop C. Okay, now we've got something coming on. And the reason it sounds so interesting is because the first chord you get is a straight D minor chord. Just a massive, thick six string D minor chord, which will just ring and ring and ring, and that that makes you go, okay, we are in D minor. That definitely anchors you in D minor. Then the bottom three strings all go down a semitone, which gives you this really weird chord that honestly is, I don't even know how I begin to notate it. D minor major seven, sharp 11, I think, if you really want to notate it, but that doesn't really, which makes no sense. And that's not really the point. The point is that you've got three strings going and playing the same from earlier, and then three going a semitone lower, so it sounds weird, but it still kind of fits. And then when you start going back up again, and it goes back to the original D minor, you go, okay, this is just how it is. Which means that even when later when I go into the refrain at the end, you can go, okay, 5th fret, 4th fret, 3rd fret, and you don't really care that it's in the weird tonality anymore. Your brain doesn't go, oh, well, this is completely throwing me, because you've still got the three strings at the top that are still just playing a D minor chord, and it all seems to work, despite the fact it really shouldn't.
Yeah, that's incredible. As someone who's always been interested in music theory, it's really interesting hearing that.
Like, anyone that actually knows anything about music theory, please don't come at me. I have no clue.
Yeah. I mean, I find it really interesting because I never would have guessed that you started with another song.
Oh, I do that all the time. I'm trying to think. Other songs I've done. Number 14 doesn't really. That started with a completely different song that. I've been working on for years anyway. I went, ooh, let's fiddle around with this, and that's where number 14 came from.
Throughout all of Unfair Deal, there is a chorus of melancholic moans. Why did you choose to include that in the song?
That's quite interesting. It basically started because I was just playing around on guitar, like, okay, I've got a guitar part now, this sounds good. And I just started doing that because I thought I needed some sort of almost percussive element to it. Thought, oh, having a loop of this would be really nice. The thing that's actually I find most interesting about that is that it's got this. I originally just messed around with it. I had my mic, started miking my acoustic, and had all the EQs, all the filters for the acoustic. Because, you know, I was just messing around on the acoustic. I wasn't set up to record vocals at all. And then when I actually came to record it, I went, oh, this doesn't sound as... I don't actually like it that much when I recorded it in a normal vocal recording position. So it's recorded with my acoustic mic'd up. I'm recording it from that position with all of the filters and all the EQ that I'd have for the acoustic. It's a bit of a weird thing like that. I don't know why it sounded better to me with loads and loads of high end and all of the bass taken out, which is normally what I do for acoustics anyway, because it just did. And just a weird thing that happened. The breaths are the same, the breaths I also decided to record like that. The breaths were also a weird thing. I recorded them at double speed and then slowed them down by half, so that what you're hearing is half speed and an octave down, to give this really kind of like inhuman vibe to them.
So for your songs and for the garages as a whole, what has the community reaction been like for you?
The community reaction for me has been just absolutely overwhelming. Like, I've spent years doing music at this point, and it's really weird to have spent a lot of time on other stuff. Like, the tracks I've worked on outside of this, where I have spent hours, honestly days of my time working on it, I just kept working and working and working and working, and like, maybe about 10 people listened to it, and out of them, one of them told me it was alright, one of them was just like, because school and people are being absolute dickheads because schools. And to have a bunch of people go, oh, this is my favourite song of the Garages, a group which I look up to a lot of the people, other members of the Garages, and I'm just like, oh, this is your favourite song? Oh, 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 okay. I don't even know how to comprehend that. So I'm just going to say thank you and freak out in a corner by myself. I don't think that feeling ever goes away, to be honest. Like, when you join and you're like, oh god, everyone's scary. Everyone here's really good. Oh god, you wrote that song? Oh shit. And then, like, a couple of weeks later, they're like, oh yeah, your song's absolutely amazing. I'm just going, but you're so good. Why do you think that about me? You're brilliant. That's never gone away from me, and it's been a few months now, so.
Lastly, outside of your own work, what do you think is the most underrated song by The Garages?
Ooh. I've thought about this question quite a few times now, because people bring it up every now and then, just random stuff. And I think I have three answers, and I really don't know how to narrow it down from there. From In the Feedback, A Face to the Name, the guitar work on that is brilliant, and there's one moment at the end, just before it goes into this kind of breakdown kind of thing, that I just... There's a little, like, scream at the end of the verse, but, like, a really, like, low scream. It's... off Encore, hurt People, just... Oh, just when it comes in at the end, I just hurt people! Just that there gets me every time. And for a final one, off Deicide, Warning, there's... Most of the song's got this really quite deep, like the vocals are really, really low and really buried. And then I think it's the second last or last verse, they go up something like an octave, and it just gets this slightly screamed quality to it that just like, oh god, that hits me somewhere, that does.
Thank you so much for joining us on Idleboard, a podcast where we interview members of The Garages, an anarcho-syndicalist blazeball band from the fictional location of Seattle. We make songs about being gay, the apocalypse, and fighting the gods, and you can find our music at blandcamp.com, with an L, Spotify, or on YouTube. We'll see you next week. Now, here's Unfair Deal by Riley of the Garages.
Idleboard is directed by Tangerine Velveteen, edited by Jennifer Catt, Nerdy Sims, and Zachary. Hosted by Aoife, transcribed by Sigil Crafter, Aya, and written by Aoife and Tangerine Velveteen.
That was a Four Strike production.